Hallelujah. We're continuing to speak on the subject of kings and priests. And this is lesson 5 this morning, and it's called, or the title is, A Royal Priesthood. Now I'm going to go over our foundation scriptures just for a moment, and you don't have to turn there. There'll be times where you'll be invited, and at any time you can turn and follow along if you can kind of catch up with us. Some of them I'll give a little bit more time for you to get there, but we do have quite a bit of material to cover. I'm not going to try to keep you all day, but we're gonna get this message to you as he delivers and as we hear, and that's important that we hear and follow at his speed and do the things that he wants to have said. The foundation scriptures that we've been using for this teaching series is called Kings and Priests, and it's out of Revelation chapter 1, and I'll just read that to you this morning. As I said, you can just listen. 1:5 says this, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth," and that's us kings, not secular kings, "and he's our prince, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Everybody say this: I was made at the new birth a king and priest. Hallelujah. That's one of those things that doesn't transition. Sorry, ladies. As I said before, I am the bride of Christ, so I'll take that on the chin and say thank you for it, Lord. But there are no queens in Christ. You're all just kings, okay? You're just all kings. Hallelujah. And you're all sons. You can't find scripture on there's daughters in Christ. We're just all sons of God, and we're all kings, and we're all priests. Hallelujah. And we're all bride. Hallelujah. Revelation 5:9 says this, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're already starting to reign. It's not just the millennial reign that we're waiting for. We're already, and we should be reigning, present tense. Learning this truth, I'm going to just read some of this because he best said it here. Learning this truth of kings and priests is more than just receiving more information. This truth in us exemplifies our ministry and authority. If there's any way that I can get that over to you, and I think that you're receiving, you're a good audience, and those out there are a good audience. This is not just another series for me to say, hey, look, here's let's popularize. Maybe you've not been thinking about in your entire Christian life that you're a king or priest. That's not my objective. It's not my objective to find another subject matter to try to teach to you. It's the reality of what we are. And if we know what we are, and if we can work with what we've been made, then that authority will follow us. It'll work through us. If we realize, and with the revelation, the full revelation of what it is, we exemplify it, or it exemplifies itself in us. Now, I'm going to read some of last week, because I think that's important, and I'm not going to go through that, obviously, can't go through a whole lot of that lesson, but let me just read some of the postscript from last week, because where we were at and what we were doing last week, and again, if you didn't get that, and if it didn't become bone of your bone or flesh of your flesh, please listen to it again. What we talked about last week was this, and the message title was Before the Door. Even before they being the world, enter the door, the benefits of what is behind the door is available to them. And now, okay, real quick, who is the door? It's a person. John 10, Jesus is. So what we taught last week was an incredible message concerning in front of the door or before the door, what is available in the atonement that transitions over prior to the door. So Romans 5 talked about, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it goes on to say a whole lot of wonderful things that we read through verse 11. I'll just make some of these these statements and you'll remember, because this and understanding what we get to give to people as kings and priests are so important when we know what's backing us up, what's behind us. Part of the atonement transfers on the outside of the door. That's important to know. What do you mean? On the inside of the door, and there's a statement here that I wrote down that says this emphatically, but let me just say this. When you go in Christ, once you're in Him, then you have all the benefits of sonship. Then you can, you have eternal life, which is really good. I don't want to go to hell. That's a major benefit of going inside the door. I then have a covenant. I have a covenant. A covenant where I can stand against poverty, sickness, disease, mental anguish, and I can stand there and quote the promises to God. Okay? Before I enter the door, that benefit's not mine. I can stand on the outside of the door, but even on the outside, as in the world, my sinner friend or family member, I can pray for them, and His atonement will transition, part of the atonement will transition on the outside of the door and get them healed. And part of that is a witness to them of His love, like, come on inside. Now, I have family members, every one of you do. Every single one of you do. If you don't know them, they're out there, that they're not straight. In other words, they're gay, okay? And that's kind of tough for some of my family members, because we come from cowboys, rough, tough, ready, fighting, bad boys, womenizers. And I'm just using this as an example. The other day I did a funeral. There was so many. There was a couple hundred there. I don't know. And they're all sitting out there, a lot of them with their cowboy hats. And don't mess with them. I mean, they're good guys, but if you mess with them, they'll fight you in the parking lot after the funeral. So, but I got one or two in there that came out of the same bunch that are gay. One of them that's same age as me, he came up and prior to, and everybody's looking and watching, and I'm going to preach the funeral, and he's there, and he's talking to me. Well, man, I gave him the biggest hug. I gave him the biggest hug like crazy. And did you know that if, I'm not going to name his name, but if he was sick, and if he'd have asked me, or if he'd have said something, if he'd have had a disease, you know, I could have offered to him part of the atonement, him being just as gay as he could possibly be. And Jesus would come into that gay body and heal him. And set. Now, it's up to him if he wants to ever accept. He can go to hell healed, but that's not what it's all about. The door, part of the atonement transfers, and we proved all that, because everybody that Jesus ever healed was not born again. Nobody was born again. Hallelujah. Go evangelize your gay family, your womanizing family. Get in there, and before you ever preach Jesus to them, ask them if there's anything you can heal them. You can get them healed. Hallelujah. Don't start talking about all that stuff they're involved in. Just say, what can Jesus do for you? Hallelujah. That's a new approach. I like this stuff. Ken Thagan said, I like the word. It makes me right. Hallelujah. The stripes, we talked about this, that the stripes of Jesus, what he received was prior to the beating, or prior to the cross, which was the sanctification of the whole world, the final penalty. I'm not going to go through very much more of this, because we really have quite a bit to say. Amen. And that's enough, okay, on that, just remembering last week's. Thank you, Jesus. The power of the gospel that produces miracles. I said this last week, and Pastor Dave, this is just a repeat of what Pastor Dave used to say. It's the dinner bell. It's the call to the world. Miracles are the call. And it's the dinner bell to the world. The church, for the most part, has replaced the power with man-made ideas. They really have. Door-to-door knocking, that's a man-made idea. Anybody that ever got saved, praise God. Praise God. I used to go with a Baptist preacher, and when I was a young guy, and he could get this pulpit saved. If you let him in the door, and he was so nice. Oh, man, I love that guy. I don't know if he's still around or not, but he was such a, and I learned some things from him. But if you ever let him in the door, and if he ever sat down at your, I'm telling you, the Jehovah Witnesses didn't have nothing on that guy. He would get you saved. You'd either get saved or he'd lie about getting saved just to get him out before it was all over with. One way or the other, you were going to say the prayer of repentance. And I was just sitting there learning, you know, and so praise God. So I've seen it all. I mean, I've been to the cold contacts. No, you know, it's not that you knew somebody. Those are hard. Those are hard, you know, just yes. Because I'm telling you, when I'm doing something, I don't want nobody that I don't know coming up there. Like, I'm like, oh, God, you know, oh, God, I got to be nice. So that's all man-made ways of evangelism. The evangelism was the power. The gospel is the power. But the gospel had an accompaniment with it. Now, let me read this. Now, this you could follow along with me in your Bible. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. Lord, help us. Hallelujah. Help us time wise. We thank you, Jesus. And everybody, every once in a while, at least somebody in this section, you got to say it. Yeah. Renee's back there with Brother Homer. I got to hear her say it, Pastor, every once in a while back there. Hallelujah. Glory. 2 Peter chapter 2. This is a little bit of, we got quite a bit of reading here. We're going to do it. 1 Peter 2, 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. How many of you believe our Lord is precious? Ye also, this is us now, as lively stones are built up on a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Hallelujah. Hello, everybody. Holy priests, glory be to God. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Sion, a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are, I hope you're following along, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Everybody say a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth, and I like this, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, showing forth his praises. Glory be to God. Now, this word royal priesthood, just for your interest and just so you'll know, the word royal here, as you would probably suppose, means a kingly position. Or a kingly, it's just basically saying you are of a kingly priesthood. Praise the Lord. Does that combine kings and priests? Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 4, you can turn there because you guys are quick. Either flip over on your smart device or turn there. Nowadays, you don't hear all the pages. You hear people tapping on glass. But that's okay. Now, this is those showing forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into His glorious light. Now, I'll just tell you really quick here. Most of you will remember this. This chapter 4 comes off the heels of, obviously, chapter 3, which was the healing of the man at the gate beautiful. Peter and John, remember that? They go up. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. But that miracle brings persecution. How many of you are ready for persecution? We're just believing God for His kingdom come, His will be done, and signs and wonders to follow. But guess what else follows? Oh, hallelujah. This is why we need you to be tough. Glory be to God. I can't afford to lose any more of you, okay? I need you to be tough. Because I'm telling you, along with the glory also sometimes comes persecution. Okay. Praise God, in America, they still don't allow you to be beaten. Yet. There was a YET in the back, which I agree with. Praise God. We're just going to keep believing for this reprieve to last as long as it possibly can. But as a result of Peter and John doing this, they were put in a holding place. They were persecuted. They were warned, don't do this again or we will beat the stuffings out of you. They come back and they report the next day to a bunch of believers. And in verse 23, this is the believers pray for boldness. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, this is what they prayed, Lord, Thou art God, who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against Thy holy child, Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever they had, or Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servant that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. How many of you know that God wants us to speak His word, okay? That the gospel is the power. And he couples it with this, by stretching forth Thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child, Jesus. Hallelujah. In other words, help us preach this gospel with confirming it with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. God, we've got a message to get out, and God, back us up with healings and with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And God liked that, because He said when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus commissions to His disciples concerning His work, His ministry, and this healing power. When He was here, in Matthew chapter 10, you can look at it there with me. I've got it here in front of me, but I'll give you a second to turn there, because it's some good stuff. We'll look at Matthew chapter 10, then we'll flip right over to Matthew 11, so you'll be right in that vicinity. Because we're talking about a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Hello, royal priests, kingly priests. Turn to somebody and say, you are a kingly priest. Hallelujah. Okay. It's really important that you understand that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 says this. These 12 Jesus sent forth, prior to that it names them all, and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. cast out devils. Freely you have received, and freely give. Hallelujah. That was a common practice with Jesus, okay? All those things, and his disciples. Then Matthew 11, since you're right there, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to him, Go to these that came. He said, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. What things were that? Well, he says this. Matthew said, The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf ear, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Hallelujah. Now, were those things common practice with Jesus? All these things were. And all these things are going to work in us today, are at work. I say present tense. There's one particular one that's not called, and it's really not even prevalent, especially in America today. It's called, the new name would be Hansen disease. But how many know what Hansen disease is? It is the old leprosy. There is one particular miracle that Jesus performed that was different than all the rest. And this miracle, Jesus involved, amazing enough, the Levitical priesthood. Okay? And you'll remember these in Matthew chapter 8, since you're there. So you're in Matthew, so just turn back now to chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Hallelujah. How many of you know the heart of Jesus? What's he about? What's he about wilt to do? We know. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Hallelujah. I like that immediate stuff, don't you? Praise the Lord. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, and show thyself unto the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Okay? So he wants him to go and offer this to the Levitical priesthood, and he said it's going to be a testimony to them. Now, we also get some more insight concerning leprosy and how Jesus handled it. Different than, there was really no instruction with blindness other than one, you know, a couple times he'd say, go wash. But there was not to the cripple, to these others, you have a secondary something that needed to be done with the priesthood. But here in Luke, turn with me to chapter 17. Interesting enough, because we are on the subject of priesthood and we're defining our priesthood, our royal priesthood, as in what we have been made in Christ. Luke 17, verse 12, says this, And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. See, here's some more of those directives, remember? He didn't pray for them, he just gave directives. Go do it. He said, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So he's really, he didn't say the secondary part that he said, like we just read in Matthew, where he said, and offer the gift. But that was his, that was the thought. Same instruction. He's dealing with leprosy again. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except or save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. According to, we're going to make this statement, then we're going to give some other information in just a minute. According to Leviticus, the cleansing of the leper required a pronouncement. They had to be pronounced clean by the priest. It was not yet concluded until the priest said it was concluded. Okay? You could appear to be clean if you outlasted it. It was a horrible disease. You could appear to be clean, but you didn't get invited back into the camp until the priest said you were clean. Observation concerning leprosy. Let me just read this to you because this is interesting. And it's not that long, but this is, I got this, I'll give credit to Jesus.org. This is by John Barnett. He had some very interesting things to say, and I knew this prior to even reading this, because I knew that leprosy equivocated or was symbolic. It was the one disease that was symbolic of sin. In other words, if you had the filth of leprosy, that it also appeared to be in the symbolic realm of the grossness of sin. And you can understand in a certain sense why. The grotesqueness of what it did to the body versus, and I knew that by just reading and everything I've read through the years and stuff, but almost all scholars will agree that there was that that equality. There was that. If you're talking about leprosy, you also could use it as an earmark for sin or for the deprivation of mankind. Now, John Barnett makes these observations, and these are some medical things as well. He says, leprosy was the scourge of the ancient world. Nothing invoked more fear or more dread or more revulsive than the sight of these walking dead. That is what the leper was called, a walking dead man. The smell of his decaying flesh would announce his coming along before the tattered scraps of his clothing would be seen, or his raspy, and then he's got in quotation the pronouncement of unclean, unclean. That's what he was supposed to say. And that's over in I think what we've got of that scripture that we'll read, that's in Leviticus 13. They actually had to say that. The announcement that he was required to declare could be heard. The stumbling, the shuffling of a toeless feet, the wandering of the sightless eyes, and the moan of a cheekless mouth all pointed to leprosy. The unseen attacker that slowly destroyed human bodies and made the individual an untouchable to society. The great Jewish cultural scholar Edersheim says the disease which we today call leprosy generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Don't worry, because you're, first of all, you have a covenant with God. There was only like 60 cases in the whole United States last year, whatever, 2015. It's almost eradicated, okay? Somebody's saying, I was a little itchy this morning. Soon the skin in such spots loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. As the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to the poor blood supply. And that's what really, you know, rots off limbs is the deprivation of blood flow and circulation, and then nerve destruction and those kinds of things. Especially around the eyes, the ears begin to bunch with deep furrows between the swellings, so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. fingers drop off or are absorbed, toes are affected similarly, his throat becomes hoarse, and you can now not only see, feel, and smell the leper, but you can hear his raspy voice. And if you stay with him for some time, you can even imagine a particular taste in your mouth. Doesn't sound good. Probably due to the odor. Leprosy is a vivid and graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin. Sin is ugly, loathsome, incurable. Of course it is, except through Christ. And contaminating. It separates men from God and makes them outcast. The instruction given to the priest in Leviticus 13 help us understand the nature of sin. Sin is inside us, and it is, of course, prior to salvation, deeper than the skin. Now I'm reading in between some other segments here. Sin also spreads, so he's given the different things that would is a typology. Sin always defiles and it isolates. Leprosy, let's see, and just as leprosy garments are fit only for the fire, so those who die clothed in sin will burn forever. That's not a good thought. One of the observations we're going to read in just a moment about leprosy is that it isolated. You know, when it says that we, double negative, Hebrews, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It tells us, as a result of this, to come boldly before the throne of grace that we might find help, might find mercy, grace to help in the time of trouble. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities because it goes, what he's trying to describe there is that an infirmity has feelings, and we think of emotions, and that's part of it, but it has offshoots with it. No one infirmity, like if you have an ailment in your body, that is the root maybe, but it has so many more spider webs with it. The young man that's crippled in a wheelchair, he can't walk. He's not only got the infirmity of an impairment of legs, but when he's sitting at a high school football game and looking out, he's sitting in a in triple and double and quadruple infirmity because he not only cannot walk, but he also is watching his friends do what he wish he could do. And he can't take a girl to the prom, or he can't drive his own car, and he can't, and there's a thousand other infirmities that go with the one infirmity. That's the touched with the feelings of your infirmities. That's, any one has its root, but it spider webs into many, many other things. That's what Jesus came to do, is to heal us of all those things. Hallelujah. The leper was not only physically afflicted, but he was an outcast too. He could not no longer enjoy family. He could no longer enjoy the things that, let's say, normal people should enjoy. And did you know that Jesus came to make us normal? He came that we may have life and life more abundantly. Not that we would live in any other way except in the mainstream of all his life. Well, let's just read. This is amazing. Turn with me to Leviticus 13. Oh, 14. Let's go to, I got to read that out of there because I didn't copy this, and this one's way too long. Now, this is, you'll have to, we've got some time before lunch here. Okay. But I'll read quick, but not too quick that you miss it. This is kind of laborious reading. Laborious in the sense that it's not edifying. You don't want to, now if you want to start over, chapter 13 and 14 are the leprosy chapters. And if you want some, let's say this, if you're trying to lose weight and you want to curb your appetite, 10 minutes before each meal, read chapter 13 and 14. And if that image dawns on you, you'll slack up. Because it starts out in 13 with scabs and oozing stuff and skelly stuff and all kinds of junk on the body that nobody likes to talk about. But this is exactly right. Now, I'm not taking this out of context. Every time that Jesus sent somebody that was healed from leprosy, and he did it a lot. One time he had 10 in a bunch. Every time that he sent them, this is what the priest had to do. And if they're, you know, I'm not talking about Caiaphas or Ananias or Annas, maybe not the high priest, but there was a Levitical understudy and they had guys under them, but it worked them. They had to do this under the Levitical priesthood. If somebody came in and they took all these, if you'll study history and stuff, the Jews would take immaculate records and stuff. The synagogues, not everybody would be maybe registered. That's why if you got thrown out of the synagogue, you're thrown out of the church. The synagogue is, you know, it's not the temple, but it's a small church wherever you live. Well, there are several synagogues. You know, there's maybe hundreds of synagogues throughout, and they would keep records and, like, you know, your name and attendance as a member. But if you got sick, if you got leprosy, they would, you know, you can't be with the bunch, but they would write you down as a leper or whatever. So I'm saying that there was records. These guys that came in, they could be validated. I'm sure they could have been validated. So it's not like they're just coming in there. The priest had to know. If he had any questions, he could go and he could get in touch with their rabbi. Their rabbi could validate, yes, this person for the last 10 years has been in a leper colony. So it could be verified. But everybody that Jesus ever sent, when you read this, you know, one of the reasons why they hated Jesus, because, man, he was putting it on them. I mean, at the same time that they were wanting to crucify him, they could not deny the testimony. I'm Joe Blow. Yeah? Check me out. I've been sick for the last 10 years. What's wrong with you now? Nothing. I was a leper. You can check out my medical history. I'd prove it. You got to offer the sacrifice. Who told you to come here? Jesus. And they're bound to do this. This is part of the Levitical priesthood, but Jesus said, do this as a testimony to them, for them. But look at this. Now I'll read, because this is not real the most, like, wow, I got edified from that reading. And the Lord spake unto Moses, this is chapter 14, verse 1, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. In other words, you can't even bring him inside the church. You've got to go outside there, out in the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Jesus sent these guys to him all the time. I bet they were like, oh my God. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed, so he's cleansed, but he's not cleansed until there's a pronouncement, shall wash his clothes and shave off his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. So he's still under inspection in this sense of the word. And it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take, see, this is not over, two ewe lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and then three tenths deal of fine flour for meat offering and mingled with oil, and one log of oil, and the priest that maketh him clean, whatever priest is dealing with him, that maketh him clean, shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of congregation. Everybody still semi with me? Okay. And the priest shall take one lamb, one ewe lamb, and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Do you understand? Now this is Levitic, but the Levitic is still in order when Jesus is there, and Jesus is sending them back, and they got to go through all this. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place, for all the sin offering is the priest's. So is the trespass offering. It is mostly holy. And the priest, meaning it mostly goes to the priest, okay? And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the right, a great toe of the right foot. Everybody still semi with me? Somebody said no. Okay, I heard it. Davey, I think that's you. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it in the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil, that is, in his left hand. And see, I'm a priest. I'm forgetting all this. You know, I got to, right? And sprinkle the oil of his finger seven times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed. Is everybody still with me? And upon the thumb, say it, Pastor, thank you. And upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the right, this is all just because the guy come and said, I'm healed. Upon the great toe of his right foot and upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, I'm almost done, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall, and the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement. Everybody say, thank God for the atonement. And make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanliness. And afterwards, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest, last verse, the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh. This is what the priest had to do every time. Two things were happening. Now, this is through all that at times you may have drifted. I'm reading it and I'm drifting. Two things that were happening that I can tell you. A cleansing from sickness was taking place, and also a trespass or sin offering was taking place. The man was being cleansed from sin, symbolically. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Thus, the gospel story is preached once again in the atonement for the leper. Both sin and sickness are destroyed. Hallelujah. It's not one or the other. If you got born again, you're free from sickness. But not only that, we have become instantaneously priests that can go and offer at least part of the atonement to the world to say, come on in. Hallelujah. Leviticus 13:59, just one verse. You don't have to. You're right there. You're right there. So look at 59. 13 was coming into 14, obviously, and it was all about what we just read. And it says, this is the law of the plague of leprosy in the garments of woolen or linen, or either in warp or woof, or anything of skins. And this is what he's saying concerning the Levitic priesthood or the priest, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. In other words, what we just read in 14, the privilege of the priest was to pronounce it clean or unclean, but in that clean or unclean was this: if he's clean, he's not only clean from his sickness, he's also been made clean from sin. Hallelujah. To pronounce it clean or unclean. Now, I don't know if this sounds familiar to you, but if you had time to think about it, I'm putting you on the spot. But there's a New Testament parallel to this, and it's in John chapter 20. Now let's turn over there together. John chapter 20. I think I'll just turn there myself. I've got it in my notes. How many of you know this is after Jesus is resurrected? Look at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, what did he say? Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. And when they saw the Lord, then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. How many are glad that we got the same commission Jesus got? Just like he was sent, just like he was a priest, just like he was a king, we've been sent from the Father. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now this right here, unequivocally, is when the disciples were born again. They weren't born again yet. There's no prototype for them until he resurrects. But now he's here. And now he comes in and he says, I'm going to give you what has been given to me. I'm going to give you that life that comes from the Father. And the Holy Ghost goes in there. Now, they don't start speaking in tongues. They don't get the baptism until 40 days later. But right then, at that moment, Peter, James, John, sons of Zebedee, all these guys, all of them that followed him, except Judas. I don't know if Thomas was in the room then. But they all got filled. I mean, they all got saved. They all received Christ. They were born again right at that moment. Praise God. And at that moment in time, he also tells them this: receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he says to them, to enact what has just happened to them, by saying this: whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retained, they are retained. Now, in the Levitical priesthood, we won't turn back there, but chapter 13, verse 59, did it not say, whosoever, basically, that you say is clean, they're clean. And whosoever you say is not clean, they're not clean. Does it sound pretty close? Are we not kings and priests? Does 1 Peter 2 not tell us that we've been made a royal priesthood? See, here's the deal. That commission that we just read, and I preach this to myself, and it's good. I mean, it's good to say this in a certain sense, that this commission has often been seen as the sense of an ambassador of Christ who gets to tell the individual who has prayed the confession of Christ as a result of that, I can tell you that your sins are remitted. And that's in context. That's okay. That's good. But it's far greater than that. It's far greater than that. This commission is far greater than that. It is the commission of a royal priesthood. This commission comes to every believer at the birth. You don't grow into becoming a king or priest. You are immediately. The moment that these guys, they're born again. They've been following him out of sheer willpower and obedience and a love for him, a human love for him. But at this moment in time, they get born again, and immediately he commissions them. And this is far more than just ambassadors going. This is part of their kingly priesthood that they get to now represent him in this sense of the word. This commission comes to every believer at birth. This commission as a royal priest gives us the authority to make the proclamation as the priest did: you are free from your sin and you are free from your disease. Hallelujah. Glory. They didn't get to go back. No, we're doing good. We're almost done. Listen, they're outside of the camp. Even if they appear to be clean, they don't get to go back until the priest says they can go back. He introduces them through all of that stuff that we faded away on. But the proclamation of the priest to say they're clean was not only a cleansing to the whole camp of Israel that these are physically able to dwell among us, but also they've been purified by the sin offering. You and I, as kings and priests, and as especially royal priesthood, we get to go into all of these directive situations where we're laying down directives, but once the directive is given, rise up and walk, we're also the one who is commissioned by Christ to say this: your life is anew. You're different than what you were. I say unto you, rise up and walk. Here's the proclamation. I'm proclaiming you back into society. Your life is supposed to be normal now. This is ours. This is what's been given to us. This was the operation of the priesthood. Now listen to this. The priest was the one who got to examine the individual and proclaim them healed. We, as the royal priesthood of Christ, have received the privilege through the atonement, as the priest did then, to proclaim them healed and release them back into society. Hallelujah. Crippled? You're not crippled. You just haven't met the one that I know. But I'm here to administer to you as a priest. Here's the directive: be healed. Insanity, depression, fear. Oh, they said you tried to commit suicide last week. Wait a minute. I've come as a royal priest. I represent a king. I am a kingly priest. I have something. I don't have to sit down with 5 hours of counseling. I can set you free right now. I don't have to wait on him. I don't have to ask him his will. Right now, as a king, I can say unto you, be thou set free. And now I can say to you, as a priest unto God, here's the proclamation: you're free. Go in peace. You're cleansed. Go in peace. You're ready to go back in. Here's the proclamation: let's get out there and set them free. Hallelujah. We've been made royal priest, kingly priest. How many are glad? Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you all the glory. We praise you and thank you that all things that have been given to him have been given to us. The power that was transitioned to him in this earth has also been given over to us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And this gospel shall be preached unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Father, we thank you. The part of our heritage is this, is to raise up as priests and proclaim this has been done. We release them back into society. We release them back into sanity. We release them back into normalcy in Jesus' name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Give us, Lord, this day our daily bread, and give us the opportunities to reach the lost, to reach the heathen, to reach, Lord, our family members that have not yet heard this message or not seen this message with power. Father, we commit unto you the safekeeping of these things, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.